And now, on with the show.
Hey everyone, welcome once again. It's time for another episode of Weekend Watch, a production of the Three Guys One Up Podcast Network. I am a host, Spencer, here with David.
That's me.
And Keith.
Hey.
How are you doing tonight, guys?
Good, man.
Maintaining.
As is tradition. I feel like we've started shows this exact way before, and I don't care. It's fun.
I need to change every week.
It's our thing now.
Yeah, it's just the same. We'll do the exact same words every week. That way it will confuse people into wondering whether or not an episode restarted or did it go to the next one.
Remember when Daniel Radcliffe wore the same outfit for like a month straight so the paparazzi couldn't?
It was a year.
Was it a whole year? Yeah.
He did it for like That's a great. Year.
That's genius. I so love
they
that.
They couldn't use photographs of him.
There's no way to prove they're new. Oh man, well, we're here to talk about some movies. I think just movies this week. We don't have a theme. I do want to apologize for last week's episode. It got cut short for some reason. Our software bugged out. Stopped, just didn't record the whole second half.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to keep a better eye on it this time. And if it drops out, hopefully I'll notice. But let's get into it. Let's get into some recommendations. What should we watch this weekend? I'm going to tell you right now because I'm going to go first because my movie was the best, I think. Oh, David, you scared me. You posted a message and I thought it was the recorder dropping out.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, my first pick this week. We don't have a theme. So my first pick is the 2020. Yes. Guy Ritchie movie, The Gentleman. The Gentleman is about Mickey Pearson, an American expatriate who becomes rich by building a highly profitable marijuana empire in London. When word gets out that he's looking to cash out of the business, it soon triggers an array of plots and schemes, including bribery and blackmail from shady characters who want to steal his domain. It is Guy Ritchie back to his original fantastic form, doing British gangster stuff, and man, it was a fun watch. I absolutely loved it. It really reminded me of, like I said, his earlier stuff, his The Snatch and The Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels and, Rock and Rolla and Revolver. It's now his fifth British gangster film, and man, it did not disappoint.
He gets better each time. This is become his genre. I want to say, I mean, other than that, this is a perfect Guy Ritchie movie. It was great all the way through. Seeing Hugh Grant not in a very sophisticated, I don't know the different regions of British accent, but not seeing him put on the very sophisticated affect is
doing the
very unusual.
Cockney accent, yeah.
Was that Cockney? Yeah.
Especially somewhat. When there's that role to be had in this film. He could have been a more Hugh Grantish type, you know, but that's
he nailed it too. He did a very good job. I thought he was
fantastic.
Yeah, the cast overall was great. Matthew McConaughey plays Michael Pearson. Charlie Hunnam, who is one of my favorite British actors of all time,
he's great.
Jeremy Strong, coming off of Succession, is in it.
Was his wife. His wife was great too.
Michelle Dockery. I don't recognize her from anything, but she was fantastic.
She was in Downton Abbey or something like that, Lauren was saying. So I don't really know her from anything, but I thought she was awesome in this film. I really enjoyed seeing her in this.
And Colin Farrell was probably the highlight of the movie as the boxing coach just trying to keep his kids out of trouble.
Proteges. Of every movie he's been in recently, like every time he's popping up in a movie recently, it's like, God damn, that character was fucking sick. And he played the shit out of it. The guy's just acting his balls off right now. And it shows, not his balls, his acting.
I mean, maybe he's acting his acting off. I loved it. This was sadly a movie that kind of got lost in the pandemic shuffle.
I was going to say, I didn't even
theaters like 4 weeks before the shutdown.
I didn't know it was unaware of this. A 2020 movie. I honestly thought this was a like a random, oh my god, this is a Netflix drop movie right now. But no, when I saw it was 2020, I was like, damn, it's not often a Guy Ritchie movie flies under my radar. I love Guy Ritchie. I love his style. The score and the soundtrack in this are freaking amazing. Fight choreography, everything that Guy Ritchie does. And it's all there. It's all in this movie. The humor. Yeah,
this was one we were going to go, Laura and I were actually going to go see in the theaters. There were two movies we had been planning to go see and kept putting it off. Like, we'll go next week. We'll go next week. And then next week, everything shut down. No more theaters for a year.
Get fucked.
But yeah, I loved it. I'm glad you guys loved it because I love Guy Ritchie. Yeah, and it's currently streaming on Netflix. So let's move on. Keith, you go next.
Sure, I'll go next. I've got one that's probably not nearly as widely liked as anything Guy Ritchie. This is a really strange, kind of lesser-known film. It's streaming on Hoopla. It's from 2008. It's called Visioneers. Starring Zach Galifianakis, and it's definitely his type of movie. Oh, wow. Remember all the short synopsis last week? I got another one for us. A corporate drone experiences the first symptom of a strange epidemic that makes people explode, period.
Yeah, that's about it.
I guess that's it.
What happens.
Right on the nose.
So let's dig a little bit deeper into this. Zach Galifianakis plays a character named George Washington and like four other names. I can't remember all of them.
George Washington Winster Hammerman.
Yeah, there you go. And he works for the Jeffers Corporation, which is the largest and most profitable corporation in the world. Jeffers, morning to you. And it's in this weird alternate universe. It's very dark, bleak world that these people live in, and everybody's depressed and trying not to be. And this epidemic is going around that nobody can explain it. So people are just exploding. Don't really know why. And a lot of what the Jeffers Corporation seems to be doing is trying to keep people from exploding in several different ways. And man, this is a weird, weird movie. And I love it. I think it was Spencer saying that he didn't know what to think of it as first. So I'm excited to hear from him, his take on this, because I find it hilarious. Like, it's a really dark comedy. There's some really dark stuff, but like the guy that's coming into the office every day and putting the gun to his head and pulling the trigger, like his therapist says he needs to pull the trigger on his gun once an hour or he's going to explode. Like, this is dark. This is some fucking out there shit. I don't know. Tell me what you guys thought. I want to talk about this movie because it's weird.
David, you go first.
I mean, this felt very Zach Galifianakis. See, it's like he applied his dry, absurd sense of humor to this movie. I think
down to like how they say chaos instead of chaos.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's almost unsettling from the get-go in how utilitarian it is, I guess. And this atmosphere that they cultivate to that obviously explains why these people are literally exploding from stress. I enjoyed it. It was definitely a weird one, but I had a good time watching this. I enjoy Zach Galifianakis a lot.
And his supporting roles around him, I think, were.
Oh yeah, Judy Greer did amazing.
Judy Greer is his wife.
Is just sort of like pursuing her own happiness and completely oblivious to everything her husband is and is doing. I'm blanking on who else was. I can't even get to the damn cast list.
Missy Pyle.
Missy Pyle as the
Like talk show host that was reading the book. Oh my god, there's so many, like the way this movie builds, like it's just odd, and it's got like an odd message to it and everything. Maybe a little too on the nose at times. It made me kind of think of society at that point a bit, but
that was
still
my biggest issue with it.
Yeah,
is it's really beating you over the head with its message. It's way too on the nose for me. It was not subtle at all. The humor was good, but I didn't like it. Overall, it felt ham-fisted to me.
Okay. I don't know. For me, it didn't. I thought it was, like, while it was on the nose, I still had a fun time watching it. Just like Society, I didn't really mean for it to kind of follow that one up, but
yeah,
I felt kind of very similar watching Society as I did watching this one. There was kind of that similar message, but in a different tone. And yeah, they kind of pushed it through. I don't know. It surprises me that it turned you off that much, because I think it was even more subtle than even Society was, where they were literally telling you, oh, Society sucks you dry.
Sucking, yeah. No, fair enough. Like I said, and I completely acknowledge that Society is not a good movie.
Right.
But there, I find that there's, it has a lot of redeeming value, especially in like special effect, practical effects and stuff, and just being fun camp. This one, it felt like it took itself too seriously in its message.
Hmm.
See, and maybe
I disagree. I felt different because I thought it was hilarious. I didn't take it like too seriously.
No, I understood the humor that the humor was there. It just felt like it felt like it knows its message and it feels pretentious about it. That's just the vibe I got from it.
Okay.
I'm curious what other people think. So, listeners, please go watch this movie on Hoopla and come to Discord and talk to us about it, because I especially would like to get some discourse going, especially when the three of us disagree about a movie. I want to know what other people think too.
Yeah, I want to hear more as well. And Discord's a perfect place to do that, because we've got a constant stream of stuff going through there. But discussion is one thing that I do want to see more of, and especially about films like this that are. I mean, this was never a big film. You're probably the only two people that I know who have watched it now. Like, every time I ask somebody about this movie, they have no idea what I'm talking about. So I want more eyes on stuff like this, for sure. More discussion as well.
So there's a movie this reminded me of, called The Lobster by the director is Yorgos Lanthimos. And it's got a similar tone in that it's really dark humor. It's about a boring dystopia in the near future. And I just feel like it reminded me of it so much, and it was hard not to draw comparisons. And I just felt like that movie was way better in almost every aspect. That one also has Colin Farrell.
Oh, nice.
Oh, but maybe I'll pick that one coming up. And
let's make it a wreck.
Contrast and compare them a little bit.
Definitely.
Yeah, we'll do that. Cool. But if you want to see this, please go check it out on Hoopla. It is Visioneers. David, bring us home.
Spencer, this one's been in my pocket, as quite a few movies are. It's an old favorite. I've seen this movie so many goddamn times. What year did this movie come out? 1996.
Yeah. Man, that was on the top of my head, too.
Good job. I think we kind of came to the consensus that it just hit Netflix. It's Happy Gilmore. All Happy Gilmore has ever wanted is to be a professional hockey player, but he soon discovers he may actually have a talent for playing an entirely different sport, golf. When his grandmother learns she is about to lose her home, Happy joins a golf tournament to try and win enough money to buy it for her. With his powerful driving skills and foul-mouthed attitude, Happy becomes an unlikely golf hero, much to the chagrin of the well-mannered golf professionals. This is Adam Sandler at peak Adam Sandler. What's Spencer doing? He's shooting.
Shoot him, McGavin.
Oh. I don't know. That was not what he was doing. Anyway.
You're still muted, but it's fun watching him do all
that. Shooter McGavin. Come on. Sorry, I forgot I was muted. Yeah. That was with Shooter McGavin. This is finger guns. I don't know what you're thinking, how you didn't understand finger guns. Pew, pew. Pew, pew.
Okay.
Sorry, finger guns don't go pew, pew.
You got me all confused. The highlight of this movie is obviously Richard Kiel.
Bob Barker?
Ah, good point.
Oh, man. No.
No?
Bob Barker in a close second to Richard Kiel. Him with that fucking nail driven into his head and like... when he forgives Happy at the end. Oh, it's such a great scene. Carl Weathers, it's all in the hips. It's all in the hips. This is a fucking classic Adam Sandler movie. It seriously, what did his two best movies are this and
Click.
I hate you.
Jack and Jill.
Billy Madison with Little Nicky in third.
Not Waterboy.
Ooh.
Ooh. Waterboy's good too.
It is good. Man, Julie Bowen in Happy Gilmore.
Whew. She's gorgeous.
Ooh.
She's still gorgeous.
Albuga.
Yeah.
She was very beautiful.
Wow. Wow.
Because you can't have an Adam Sandler movie without a drop dead gorgeous woman to play his
love interest. Falls for Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Oh man, Christopher McDonald as Shooter McGavin is one of the most iconic bad guys of film. I love it so much. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
Oh.
Oh man, there's so many good one-liners in this movie. This is what I definitely grew up watching way too much of. I love this film so much. It's great.
Yeah, for sure. What a wonderful movie. Man, we could do like a take on franchise breakdowns, but do like filmographies, like Adam Sandler movies.
That's great.
Or like productions. We could do production, Happy Madison. Like
Happy Madison production.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. That'd be cool. I bet we could think of some more to go on that list too.
That'd be fun. I would absolutely love to go back and watch all of these movies.
Very cool. Check it out. Happy Gilmore. It's trending. What do we say? Number 8 right now on Netflix top 10 charts?
Yeah, something like that.
Yep.
That's great. Good for Adam.
I don't know, man. If it's they have multiple top 10 charts now. They have like the overall top 10, top 10 movies, and top 10 shows. So yeah. I don't know which top 10 this is on. It might just be movies. I don't know if it's overall.
Yeah, it's movies. It's movies. It's also number 5. I was wrong about the number.
Oh. So it might be on overall top 10 then.
Could be. Let's see if I can find it. Top 10 shows. I don't see an overall top 10 on my list anyway.
They might have taken it off. Like the first time I noticed that they had changed it, I was scrolling down. It's like, how many top 10 lists do I need to see? There's a whole bunch. So it might just be movies and shows now.
A minimum of 2. That much we know. All right. That wraps up recommendations for the week. Why don't we get into some news stories. We missed this last week. I am so sorry, everyone. But let's get back into it. We got a couple of new things. We'll see where we're at. Maybe we could talk about some of the stuff we talked about last week that did not get recorded. First thing I want to go over, because this has me super stoked. We have an announcement date for Cobra Kai Season 5. It is coming September 9th to Netflix. That's not that far.
No, that's coming up quick. They're shotgunning these things out. I mean, the format of the show isn't too hard when you're just doing like a modern soap opera with karate. Yeah.
It's not exactly the most complex plot in the world.
Right.
So I'm all for it. I'm super ready for this. I want to see what's going to happen. I'm hooked on this show. I can't get enough of it. So if they want to give me fucking 3 seasons a year, I'll watch every damn episode. A new episode a week forever. That's what I want.
That you really do want a soap opera.
Yeah,
that's too much. That's
correct. You're right. You're right about that. What else? We got a new trailer for the new Avatar movie, Avatar: The Way of Water. Kind of a dumb name. Did you guys get a chance to watch this teaser trailer?
I started it. I didn't make it all the way through. I did see a little tidbit of information on it, though, that it got watched more in the first 24 hours than all Star Wars trailers.
Don't get it. All right. I don't understand why we have waited.
What does that metric mean?
Right. So this movie is going to be 13 years after the original. We're finally getting a sequel to, albeit the highest grossing film ever. But I thought that the reason that it grossed so high was because it was like the first big 3D movie.
It was brand new 3D technology that was actually like,
you're not wearing those stupid blue and red glasses. Like
It was kind of worth watching. I saw Avatar in 3D and it kind of blew me away. I thought it was cool as shit. I preferred it not in 3D because I didn't like wearing glasses the whole time.
Yeah.
But it was still, it was an experience. It was a different movie going experience. And that's why I thought it was so huge. Not because it was Dances with Wolves with blue people.
Right. Like, that's the thing, right? It was like the plot isn't anything to be excited about.
Well, it and everyone fine. Knows that book two of Avatar is Earth.
Exactly. So why is this the way of water?
Yeah.
Good joke.
They're messing up this. Yeah.
I liked it. I'm being serious. I'm not with you here. I liked it. I liked your joke.
There was a little announcement as to the names of all the next ones. So, all right, let's look at all these dumb names then, because I'm not like a huge fan of any of them. There's Avatar 2, The Way of Water. Avatar 3. The Seed Bearer. Avatar 4.
That's a porn. That's a porn version.
That's porn. Yeah. That well, one you can you already think that's find. That's
a porn version. Wait, about Avatar 4, The Tolkien Writer.
What?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. I don't even know what that is, but they're writing.
Tolkien? Like
T-U-L-K-E-N.
T-U-L-K-E-N.
Oh. K-U-N.
K-U-N. Okay.
Tolkien.
The Tolkien Writer.
Yeah.
Avatar. Not, so, I mean, that one
like,
just makes.
Not like the Silmarillion.
Makes no sense. Avatar 5, The Quest for Awa. I thought we already did the Awa stuff in Avatar what? Is it this whole thing, The Quest for Awa?
I don't know. What the fuck is Awa?
The tree. The god tree.
Oh. Weren't god. They just protecting it in the first one?
Sure.
Isn't that like the whole thing?
Well,
like, why is the company went to attack it or whatever because they had to obtain the unobtainium?
Oh.
And the blue people were getting in the way.
They called it unobtainium. This is know, so,
it's so stupid.
It's I saw so a dumb. Tweet about this new one, and they're like, if Avatar 2 requires me to remember anything about Avatar 1, I'm already not happy about this movie.
I'll be honest. I don't think I've watched it since the first one came out.
I never did watch that movie.
We went and saw it in theaters because of the hype, but like I don't think I ever watched it again.
It's enjoyable. It was an enjoyable movie at the time. Like
it was fun.
I would probably still again though, this is the big James Cameron, like what isn't it like 3 hours and 15 minutes or something like that? 3 1/4 hours. It's long.
Yeah, but James Cameron always does that.
Yeah.
Like it'll get cut down. Are you talking about the first one?
The first one, wasn't it? Like,
I don't think it was that long, no.
I thought it was super long.
Let's see here.
2008, goddamn.
160, holy shit. 162 minutes, so 2 hours and 42 minutes.
Okay, yeah, so not quite as long as I was saying, but yeah, it was a long fucking movie.
Yeah, I don't got time for that anymore.
You watch Batman.
Yeah, over 2 days. yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll go see the new one. I don't know. Sure, why not? I'll watch it eventually. When it's on Disney
Plus. Like I still need to go see like Doctor Strange. There's movies I want to go see in theaters. This isn't one that's even like high up on my list.
Yeah.
And like I've got high list movies that I want to see that I still haven't gone to see.
Same. I've really transitioned away from theaters, which sucks.
It does.
I love a theater.
Yeah.
Speaking of movie theater movies, Scream 6. The cast has been announced, and Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barrera are returning. Did you guys watch the new one?
No.
I haven't yet, no.
Man, it was
great.
Isn't
it on Peacock or something?
Paramount.
Paramount, okay. I knew it was one
or
of
is
the
it Peacock? No, it's Paramount. Peacock was Halloween Kills.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm pretty stoked for it. I really liked Scream 5. I'm a huge Scream junkie, and it didn't disappoint. So I'm pretty excited to see where they go, especially with some of the new younger cast. Good to know. Good to know. Yeah, that's that story. Not much to talk about with that one.
Neat.
let's move on to another fun one. Have you guys ever heard of the movie Short Bus?
I hadn't until this story, honestly.
Yeah, same.
So I have loved this movie ever since I first saw it, probably in 2007 or something. In fact, it was so good I figured out a way to rip it from a Netflix DVD and burn a copy for myself. I think I might even still have that pirated copy somewhere. It is John Cameron Mitchell from Hedwig and the Angry Inch fame made this movie in 2006. It features unsimulated sex between all kinds of people, gay, straight, all kinds of it. And it's a really good movie. It really is. But apparently Amazon doesn't think so and has banned it because of the unsimulated sex. So they will not carry it for VOD. They won't stream it. Nothing. They are completely banning this movie from any of their platforms. And I think that's fucked up.
Rude. I think that I didn't actually read this. Do they give like a full reason why, other than it's just offensive? That's it. It's like, I'm offended by that. Sex offends me.
Yeah. They gave two reasons. One was that they're claiming that the subtitles are off, which they're not, because it's on other platforms and the subtitles are fine. And then the other one says it violates their content guidelines. And that was all they would say.
Probably trying to say without saying that it's pornography.
Well, because if they were specific, then people would be able to go through their catalog and point out all the other movies where they're hosting with that content in it.
So yeah, here's the problem is Amazon Prime does have multiple other movies that feature unsimulated sex.
It's just not gay.
Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac, Vincent Gallo's Brown Bunny. There's at least one more I remember reading about that is also available on Prime Video to buy, and did not get banned. But this does actually have some scenes which feature gay unsimulated sex. It is, like I said, it's a groundbreaking movie. This is probably one of the first movies, especially as early as it came out, 2006, to not demonize same-sex relationships.
Yeah. Or make a joke out of it.
Actually celebrate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Feature it as you know, portray it as just as valid and just as, well, valid is probably the best word, as any other kind of relationship. I think it's just fucked up that they're not carrying it.
Well, and there's a quote from Cameron Mitchell at the end of this article as well saying like, I don't know, there's sex in a lot of films, but I wanted it to be fun and funny and emotional and real. And that's what he did. Like, so I don't know. It's Amazon's walking that line of what's art and pornography. And that's a dangerous line to be walking.
Yeah. Good news is there's a boutique Blu-ray label that's doing a 4K release of it fairly soon. So I'll just buy that. Definitely a movie worth watching, though, if you get a chance. There are some other platforms where you can find it.
I was reading on here that Pornhub had streamed it for a while because that was like the
only
would.
Place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see if it's available anywhere. You can rent it on Apple TV for $5. Apple TV, Microsoft Movie Rentals, YouTube has it for $4, and Google as well. So really strange that Amazon is denying it.
Yeah, that's weird and dumb.
Yeah. Worth buying. Check it out. It's a fun movie.
Get your shit together, Amazon virgins.
Yeah. Fuckers or whatever. I'm with you.
Not fuckers.
All right. We hit that one. We got all those. We're running a little towards the end here. Does anybody have anything else we should touch on? We talked a little bit last week about the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer coming out. So check that one out. It was it looks pretty good. I'm pretty stoked for it.
I'm really excited. But you see the photo, the promo that they did? Were they in like Germany or something like that? Where like the four main actors, Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor and the two like lead females were out there promoting it. And Hayden Christensen had this like super Vader themed outfit on, that like jacket with like the cut of, I don't know, it even just that got me pumped for the show. They're leaning into it. And he's doing some filming for Ahsoka. Like, I'm glad to see these old prequel faces back in it. Because as bad as the prequels are, I think these are still the faces of those characters. And I'm excited to see them come to life again.
Oh, fuck yes. Yeah,
that's see badass. That outfit? Yeah, with the boots and everything. That jacket is fucking sick, though.
Yeah, how do we get one of those?
I know, I want that.
Man, yeah, that's good stuff. Definitely looking forward to that. I'm curious about what you said about him doing filming for Ahsoka. He's got to be coming back as a Force ghost then, right?
That's what I'm thinking, Force ghost.
Because Ahsoka's story's been told up through where we're at now in The Mandalorian.
Right.
She even had a one episode for a little bit in Book of Boba Fett.
I need to fucking watch it. Hell, I need to go back and watch, because I was also reading that Hayden Christensen was doing, he went back and watched like all of Clone Wars and Rebels to prep for his character again, because that's all like canon stuff that his character did.
Yeah. Rebels especially.
Awesome. I love that he dove into that content to really tap into his character. That's fucking sick.
Yeah, that's great. Oh man, looking forward to that one. That should be in the next few days, right? Isn't it the end of the month?
Yeah, something like that.
Very cool. But I think that's it. That's the news this week. Thank you everyone for joining us once again. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Discord, our website, 3guys1up.com, where you can find a list of all our previous recommendations. You can also find a link to our Patreon. You can click that link, become a patron, and we'll be forever in your debt. I think that's it. Thank you everyone once again. Good night, boys. We'll see you all next week.